Good morning, and we're thankful again to be here at our services here at the Tyler Prentice Baptist Church. You know, our first responsibility, our main mission here this morning is to worship and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. To God be all the glory. I like just to say, hallelujah. You know what that means? It means praise the Lord. And I want us to praise the Lord this morning. That's why we have gathered together for this time to come of worship our God. What an opportunity we have to gather together. It's a special time. It's a coming together. We are able to carry along the same acts of the first century apostles and Christians as they gather together. Many times they were not able to gather together in a nice building like this. They may be gathering in a cave. They may be gathering in a home. We can see in the book of Acts that they were, Peter's in prison and they're praying at someone's home because they didn't have a church building to go pray at. They were having a prayer meeting during the middle of the night, and they were praying for Peter because Peter looks like he is about to be executed. Remember, they've already executed James. And so, you know, you remember James and John, the sons of thunder? They've already executed James. And then Herod saw it please the people, so he's going after Peter now. And the church says, oh no, Peter might be executed. Well, they prayed fervently for Peter, and Peter was released by God's mighty hand. It's the power of prayer that church was meeting in a building, in someone's home. So I'm thankful that we are able to gather together to have singing, prayer, and the preaching of the word of the gospel. This morning, we know that it is Mother's Day, and I mentioned that earlier, and we're thankful for all our mothers. So in kind of a light of a being Mother's Day, I have a subject that I was going to originally preach last week, but instead I preached on the omnipotence of God. God having all power. Recently, we had two people in our congregation that are here today that were married. And so, of course, the subject of marriage just happened to be on my mind because they were married. And to me, it's always a great time to go back. And for everyone that is married or contemplating marriage, to think on these things. Maybe you've already been married. It doesn't matter. It's good to go back because you may be asked of your opinion. What is your opinion of marriage? Because we see that you may have a grandchild, you may have a cousin, you may have an aunt, you may have a nephew, you may have someone ask you about marriage. Why do you think, what's important about marriage? Well, this morning, I like just to preach a little bit on marriage, and I like to concentrate some on how the man really should act toward the woman, because today, is Mother's Day. But I want to tell you that your first responsibility in your marriage is to glorify God. You know, it tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added unto you. So when we're in a marriage together, we're supposed to be seeking God. What is His will for us in our life? You know, it tells us to pray continually, to have the words of prayer kind of upon our mind. We need to be seeking God. What are we having to pray to do in this marriage? What direction would you have me to do? What is your will for me in this marriage? Of course, it's who do you want me to marry? Yes, we need to pray to God about everything, but once you're married, though, and you're contemplating marriage, is that you should first be able to glorify God in your marriage. That is utmost important. Because we know that marriage was ordained by God. And we look back in the book of Genesis. It tells us that, therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. And I just love the wording of that. And they shall be one flesh. I mean, in our world, or any time, you have a man and woman that are married. You know, they need to come together. They need to cleave unto each other. They need to, you know, if they had a problem, of course, you first are going to go to God. But second, the next person you should be talking to is your spouse. Because you're cleaving unto them. They're part of your body. You're part of their body. That's the first person you're going to go to. It's not somebody else is going to cleave unto your spouse. And what a, this is God's way that He has designed after the start of time when He created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve. And so He created them and He ordained it this way. And I'm so thankful He did it because God always does everything in the right way. You know, and men especially, you know, your duty and your manner should be to treat your wife with the utmost tenderness and respect. You should treat her as the precious gift that she is to you from the Lord. You know that your wife is a special gift unto you, and you should treat them with that way. They are a treasure. You know, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, it says, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth the favor of the Lord." So, if you have a wife, you have found a good thing. And guess what? You're being blessed of God because of your wife. And so, we need to remember that and to never to speak harshly unto them or treat them in any unkind manner at all, at any time. At Proverbs 31, I'd like just to read a few verses over there to remind us. It says in Proverbs 31 and verse 10, it says, Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You want to try to put a price on it? You can't put a price on it because she's too valuable to you. It's far above rubies. He's given a comparison. You can't even compare a ruby to it. It wouldn't even be close to it. She's far above that. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. It says also, a little bit later in the chapter, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he's called her blessed too. And he praiseth her. Her husband is praising her. Have you praised your wife today? Have you called her blessed? Have you given thanks unto God that God has blessed you with a wife, this wonderful woman? And He's blessed you with her. Let's be thankful unto God and give Him the glory and tell God thank you, but tell your wife thank you. And tell her you love her and praise her because she's worthy to be praised. It says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. So I pray that you praise your wife this very day. Treat her as the gift that God has given to you. Treat her as a precious, as the treasure. If we have something that we treasure, we're going to take good care of that. I remember I played the band and I played the trombone. I didn't always take care of that trombone like I should have. But you know what? Every day I did. It got kicked out of the stands one time. It really upset me, but it wasn't my fault. But I had this trombone, and I had it wrapped up in this purple cloth. And, I cleaned that slide. They tell us the ponds, you put that on there, have the slide, clean it up. I was treasuring that because It cost a lot of money for my mom and dad to buy that for me. And I knew that was an expense and hard. So I wanted to take care of that. So I'd wrap about it, and I'd treasure that thing because I wanted, even after it got bit up a little bit, I still treasured it. And I still used it. And so, maybe not, that's a poor analogy, but, you know, as something I wanted to take care of. And I need to take, as I want to take care of that instrument, I want to take care of my wife and what he has given me to treasure that, to use that. You know, it tells us in 1 Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Do we ever get bitter against our wife? It's wrong. You need to love your wife and be not bitter against them. Ephesians chapter 5. It's going to make it a little tougher for us, guys. Ephesians chapter 5, but this is the Bible. This is not Brother David saying this. This is what the Word of God is telling us to do. It says, chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Christ laid down his very life. And also, not did he lay down his very life, but he had to fulfill every bit of prophecy. He had to suffer in this world. He had to allow himself to be born. The God of heaven had to allow himself to be born in this world. In a manger. The Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, allowed himself to do that. He lowered himself. Why? Because he loved us. He loved the church. God told him this is the way it had to be to satisfy, to pay the sin debt, and he willingly did that. That's how we are to love our wives. To put everything that we have of ourselves, all our selfish desires, and all our things, to focus on our wife. How can I please her? You know, my first thought would be, oh, well, this is what I want to do. Whoa, wait a minute. That's not the way it should be. I need to focus on my wife. What would she like to do? What would be the best for her in this situation? And see, the wife's going to be doing the same thing. She is going to be thinking, what would be best for my husband? What does he want to do? And you have two people considering each other. What a wonderful marriage you're going to have, because you're not going to have a marriage full of selfish desires on either part. They're not going to be polarizing. They're going to be coming to God. And also, they're going to be seeking to glorify God, and they're going to be coming together and be growing spiritually, and they're just going to be going toward God, going to Christ. They're growing in Christ. They're going to be coming together. What a wonderful picture that is. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, having not spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we need to be treating our dear wives like the Lord Jesus Christ is treating us. You know, it may be hard, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And it's what God's Word commands us to do. Because remember, she's a great treasure that's given to us. You know, Jesus Christ, I mean, he is vitally interested in everything that concerns us. Because we are the children of God that he came to purchase. He's interested in what's going on with you. He's interested in your welfare. He's interested in what's going on in your life. What are you doing right now? Oh, he's not interested in me. A lot of other people know. He had to die for every sin of each of us. Oh, that little sin, it wasn't no big deal. No, it was a big deal. Christ was crucified because of it. Sin had to be paid. I don't care if it's a little sin or if it's a major sin. All sin has to be paid. There's no sin that can go unpaid. So in actuality, there is really no little sin. Because we're going against God when we sin. You know, God cannot behold iniquity in His sight. He cannot behold it. God hates sin. God's not okay with a little sin. God hates every sin. And Christ had to die for every little sin of all His children. And when He died and He shed His blood for all the sins of all His people, the sin debt was paid at that time. It was paid in full. So when we treat our wives, and we're treating her as Christ treated us, you know, we need to be patient. We need to be kind. We need to be tender. We need to be compassionate. That's the way we should treat us, to treat her. Praise God if you've been given a wife and she's still with you today. Praise God if your wife is not here with you anymore. And your husband, your spouse may be gone at this time. But praise God that He gave you your spouse for the amount of time that He gave them. You know, we need to be interested in the welfare of our wife. Because Christ is interested in our welfare. You know, you need to be interested in her spiritual welfare. You know, does she have some, you know, questions? Maybe you can help her spiritually. Maybe y'all could read together. Maybe you could, you know, pray together. It will help you bond to each other. I'll give you those special times. And to take advantage of those times. Because, it's something Brother Jacob said, in actuality, we're not really here all that long. In the long scheme of things. You're not here a long time. So let's take advantage of these opportunities that we're given. And we need to take time to communicate with our wife. Now, I always told I need to work on my communication. But we all need to be sure that if you're a good communicator, you need to remember to communicate with your wife. You know, you may be a sports fan. I don't know, maybe you are or not. But I used to go to these games. It might be football, it might be basketball, it might be volleyball. But one thing they're always saying, communication is key. Communication is key. Why is that? Because if you have other people on the team, then you've got to communicate. If you're playing basketball and the person is totally not in sync with everyone else, they don't even know what play is going on, and you're running a play, and they're doing something else. You're down at this end of the court, and they're down at the other end of the court. I mean, you say, well, that seems silly. Well, it would be silly, because not only will they look ridiculous, they're not helping the team at all. They're not doing any good. So let's do some good on our team, because you're a team. Let's communicate. Let's let each other know what's going on. In my case, I just need to communicate more clearly, but still need to communicate because we won't let them know that we are interested in them, and we won't know that we're interested in what they're thinking, what's going on with them, what's going on with your wife. I mean, you might know right now. You might say, "Well, I know exactly what's going on with her," or you may not. But that's where communication is the key. Right there. You know, God is always ready to hear of us, of any fears that we may have, misgivings. What is going on in our life, we need to be the same way. You know, God's never too busy to talk to us. He knows us very well. How well do we know our wives? And someone has asked you a question. You should be able to answer that question about your wife. What shoe size is she? Oh, I'm not really sure. What ring size is she? Oh, what size does she wear? Or what's her favorite food? Or, oh, I don't know. You know, what does she like or doesn't like? Well, I don't know. See, that's just being interested in your wife. Just little things. Because you already know she's smart because she married you. But still, besides that, you need to find out more about her. And make sure they would do. And also, men, you know, we should be a provider for our wives. You know, you should be responsible for to provide for her, of course, of material needs. But you also need to be willing to, and, you know, a man, men, willing to work hard and responsible. And I think all the men in our church have been that way. Work hard, responsible, taking care of their wives. Because there's only not material needs, there's physical needs. There's emotional needs. And you're also responsible for her spiritual needs. You know, if you're the head of your home, God respects you to be sure and to help take care of her spiritual needs. You know, in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. You know, this word translated rest right here, it's used 21 times in the Old Testament. And in 15 of those times, it's translated rest. Two times it says resting place. And one time it means ease. So why am I going through all this explanation for? Why am I talking about resting place? Why am I talking about rest? What am I trying to get at right there? You know, your wife should be able to find rest in your home. I don't care if you're in an apartment, you're in a duplex, you're in a tent, or you own a home. It doesn't matter. But in your home, your wife should be able to find rest. She should be able to come there and find rest and safety in her home. A resting place where she can find a comfort and ease and quietness and stillness. She should find spiritual rest in your home. So I pray that your home is a home of rest, that your wife desires to come to where she can find that solitude at times, to find that rest at times, be a place that she wants to come to. You know, there's, of course, a physical joy and there's an emotional joy in marriage. But there is also a spiritual joy together, a spiritual delight. Can you imagine two people that are seeking God, that are joined together and can experience that spiritual joy? First Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." You know, in this life, we are traveling together as strangers and pilgrims, a life's journey. And if God has given you a mate to travel with, I want to praise God for that. To travel that you don't have to travel alone. It's not good for a man to be alone. It's not good for a woman to be alone. That's not the way God has designed it. He's designed it that you can have a companion. You can have a husband or a wife to travel on life's journey. And traveling together, especially if you're having this spiritual joy, this spiritual connection together, that it just draws you closer unto God. You know, again, I can't tell you that, maybe tell you the importance of being able to pray together. Because we're praying to God, we're praying together. And we should be able to do that with our wife. And so, I want to urge you, each and every one, to today, be thankful for your wife. Go and tell her how much you appreciate her and what a special treasure she is unto you. There is one other thing I'd like to mention. You know, there's a spiritual joy, but you know, there's another spiritual type joy, and that is being able to share knowing that Jesus Christ has redeemed you from your sins on the cross of Calvary. What greater joy could there be than knowing, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm lost without you, but you have paid for my sins on Calvary. And I give you all the glory. I give you all the credit for that. And thank you for my husband. Thank you for my wife as we travel together our life's journey. That we know that salvation is completely by God's grace. And we praise you for that. That we know that the sin debt was paid in full by Jesus Christ on the cross. And there's nothing left for us to pay. But we do want to remember Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Yeah, there's no debt you can pay. There's nothing that you can do to help for sin. There's nothing you can do to repay God back. But you have to remember that you have been changed. Your heart has been changed. You've been given a new heart. If you've been born again, that's what regeneration is. If you've been regenerated, you have spiritual life within you now. You've been quickened by the Spirit of God. If you have that, guess what? You're going to have new desires. Now, if you haven't been quickened by God's Spirit, you're not going to have those desires. And we know that it's when God changes your heart, and it's called immediate regeneration by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not coming to church and, okay, I hear this, okay, now I'm regenerated. God can use the preaching of the gospel, though, to help change people. Because they can realize that, yes, I have, it gives you light. It doesn't give you life, but the preaching of the gospel can give you light if you have life already there. When that's still immediate regeneration by the Holy Spirit, you may not understand, but you come to church, you start reading the Bible, you then have the ability to start to understand. If you haven't been born again, you're really not going to understand about the gospel. You're not going to understand about Jesus Christ. But when you do are regenerated and changed, then you do have the ability because you do have spiritual life. But remember, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that's right after 8 and 9, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What a more wonderful way than to walk with your wife because you have been ordained to do good works. And y'all can both do good works together. It will draw you so close together, spiritually, emotionally. What a wonderful way to do that. And knowing that God, salvation is of God. Because we have to give God the credit. It's God's plan. He had it carried out by Jesus Christ. He has the Holy Spirit right now, at this very moment, regenerating the souls of men and women, if you know. At this very time, people's lives are being changed because of the Spirit, of the operation of the Holy Spirit right now. So let's give God the praise and the glory. Let's give God the glory if God has blessed you with a wife. And I want to, again, thank you for all the mothers, and thank you for being here this day.